Hey guys, so I've been asked to respond, and I feel like I need to respond to an article that recently appeared on jasonstapleton.com. As many of you know already, if you haven't deduced or if I haven't been clear enough, I'm an anarcho-capitalist. I put myself in that camp. I love liberty. I love the Jason Stapleton program, or I love directing people to it. I don't appreciate the article that was put on that website with his name on it. I don't mind discussing the merits of minarchism versus anarchism. I don't mind having that kind of friendly debate. I love having these kinds of debates with my friends over a beer at the bar, because we're so far away from that kind of society that it really doesn't matter at this point what we're fighting over that at that intention. However, I do have to stick up for the anarchists at this moment. For all the hullabaloo people make about anarchists wanting to shout people down and complain that people aren't libertarian enough, there is just as much animosity coming from the non-anarchist section of the liberty movement. In my opinion, I think that this article was one of them. I don't think it was meant to encourage discussion. I think it was meant as a purge. Despite what he says, he doesn't think it's a purge. I think it's pretty clear that this article is an attack piece. Let me start you off with reading it. This article was written by a Remso W. Martinez on March 2nd, 2016. I'll read this opening paragraph for you. There's a tug of war for the soul of libertarianism in America, almost like the return of the Force in the new Star Wars film. It's a sensation everyone feels yet cannot identify clearly. While many people have been distracted by conservatives like Rand Paul gaining all the attention, there's something far worse than libertarians who are Republicans. What I'm talking about are, in bold print, the anarchists. Yes, we are so evil that we deserve to be bolded, just so it sticks in your mind just how wicked we are and just how much we want to leave you alone, those darn anarchists. They want to leave you alone even more than I do, and I can't stand for that. Anyway, I don't know how the anarchists can possibly be worse than the compromising just for the sake of compromising libertarians who fall for every single conservatarian trick that have been thrown at them for the last 20 years, whether it be Republicans running on the Tea Party platform that they're going to get in there and balance the budget and do nothing of the sort. The Republicans who said we're going to stop government overreach and then simultaneously stand up for things like the Freedom Act, a la Ted Cruz. And basically, how can the anarchists be responsible for this? They're absolutely not responsible for it. How can we say that the anarchists are worse than those people who actively work day in and day out to take more of your liberty and to give you lip service while you consistently throw your votes at them, hoping that this time it will be different? That's one of the signs of an abusive relationship, by the way. Something else I want to go on here. So that's the opening piece here. Now, if it's pretty obvious that this isn't a smear piece or that this is a smear piece, I don't know what to tell you. How can you say that the anarchists are what's wrong for the libertarian movement, or that he goes on later here to say that we don't share the classical liberal tenets of liberty and that we're not consistent with the principles of liberty, when I could argue that the anarchists are the ones who take their principles to its logical conclusion, and it's the minarchists or the minimal state libertarians who put up their own mental blocks to actually reaching these conclusions on their own. Now, I'm not trying to knock you if you are a minarchist. I'm trying to respond to this guy in a similar fashion to the way he tried to put a smear on you and try to call out some of the hypocrisy and lack of actual knowledge that this writer has. So he says here that, and he brings up a term he says as the ideology advocating private property. Anarchists advocate private property, especially the anarcho-capitalists. Your property is your property. Your body is your body. Nobody can take from you what's not yours without your consent. An unhampered market economy, like the opportunity to trade with people from a different country. The opportunity to give goods and services to whoever you want without you being questioned, the opportunity to run your business the way you want to run your business, and the opportunity to pay or not pay for a defense that honestly can't defend you or actually even makes you less safe, or to pay for a defense that is subject to the whims of the mob. The rule of law. The rule of law is not the rule of man. The rule of law is not a bunch of people getting together and deciding what a statute is, and then everyone has to follow it and get in jail. The rule of law arises spontaneously out of people recognizing and choosing to obey tradition. That doesn't mean it's a law of nature. The rule of law is not a law of nature because people can break these laws. You cannot break the law of gravity. You cannot just start floating up when you want to. Even in a state society, in a minimal state society, are people going to get murdered? I think so. And some of this hypocrisy and Nirvana fallacy is, I hope to expose later in the argument. Constitutional guarantees of freedom of religion and of the press. Well, of course, anarcho-capitalists believe in this. What is your definition of constitutional? Something written on a piece of paper, maybe a written contract between two consenting parties. And the word guarantees that is used here, as he wants to try to use it and pen on the anarchists, that the anarchists are somehow guaranteeing that you're going to be able to absolutely guarantee 100% safety in any system is absolutely ludicrous. Freedom of religion and of the press. This is just freedom of speech. It's freedom to do with your property however you want. International peace based on free trade. Yeah, because the minimal state constitutional government never tried to invade Canada and piss off the British to invading in the war in 1812. Because we had a small constitutional limited representative republic conservatarian government that would never do such a thing, right? I didn't think so. He goes on down here. He's got 4 points that he wants to quote from the Libertarian Republic, which is not shocking. The Libertarian Republic is a publication seemingly dedicated to getting Austin Peterson a cushy job in some Fox studio somewhere by trying to attack the anarchists. Number one point he tries to say is that natural rights are guaranteed, as if the government can guarantee your natural rights. A right is something that must be provided. Well, if a right is something that must be provided, how come government can't provide the same protections and the same guarantees? Any society, he says, any society aimed at protecting natural rights must use the same type of force to guarantee those rights. That's not necessarily true. Initiating force is different than defending yourself from force that is inflicted upon you. Any mechanism of force used to guarantee those rights have the same effect as government, no matter what form they may take. And I tend to agree with this sentiment. If you think a system of private law and private security is some form of government that protects people and protects their property to the best of their ability voluntarily, or is somehow governing, that's just your definition of governing. That's not a difference between statist and anarchist. So the idea that government, that anarchists, the philosophy is flawed because it can't guarantee your natural rights, then one must also reject statism on the exact same grounds. The state cannot guarantee your rights. The state can tell you they are. The state can take your money and pay for a police agency and pretend that they're protecting your rights. But also you can still be harmed. You can still be robbed. You can still be murdered, even in a gigantic Leviathan state like we have today. You could be murdered in a minimal state, a Night Watchman state, or a constitutional conservatarian state. Someone can infringe on your rights in any of these opportunities. The difference is you might be robbed. Someone might come up to you when you're walking home from your jog and mug you and rob you and try to kill you. That could happen in the anarchist society. That could even happen in the government society. In fact, it happens in societies with governments all the time. The difference is, how can government or a state or even a minimal state, which aspires to take just a small portion of our liberty and a small portion of our money involuntarily to pay for some kind of collective means of defense, say that they're protecting us and they can guarantee our rights when they can't even defend against, if they can't even stamp out all forms of murder and fraud and theft and violence? It's called the Nirvana fallacy, trying to pin the lack of guarantee of the defense of rights on the anarchists while simultaneously ignoring the fact that government absolutely cannot do the same thing. In fact, the only thing that government does is makes it inevitable by becoming the ones to rob and steal and murder you instead. Number two, an anarchist society cannot repel a foreign invasion. A fully anarchist society with no collective means of defense is at the mercy of foreign powers who have not abdicated such means of survival. An anarchist state is at the mercy of anyone who wishes to expand their territory unchecked. The Native Americans can attest to this. It's absolutely a ridiculous argument. This is called the alien invasion argument, whereas if Martians, who were so advanced, suddenly came to the planet Earth and wanted to take what they were and make this place a colony of their own, they could do it, and no amount of government and wealth confiscation and planning is going to stop it, because they are so much bigger and so much stronger that no amount of government is going to stop you. It kind of goes back to the other point. Government cannot guarantee your protection, and to pretend that it can is absolute folly. So if you cannot guarantee your protection, why conscript me into this social contract that you continually lobby and argue for? That, oh, the free market works for everything except for the things that make me feel uncomfortable. No. No amount of government and wealth confiscation, even if it makes you feel safe, it's going to make you 100% safe. So why make it inevitable that I will be stolen from? Why take it out of my hands to choose who is protecting me? Why not leave it to the market and not leave it to customer satisfaction to decide, hey, are the police doing a good job? Should they be enforcing this crime? Should they, you know, are they corrupt? Should I pay a different policing agency? You don't get that with government, even in the minimal state government. And this isn't government in the sense that in the shared kind of definition that we can all agree on, that, hey, well, maybe if someone who defends your rights is in some form or fashion governing, this isn't an argument over definition. This is an argument over the state. The state cannot guarantee your safety, no matter how much wealth they confiscate, no matter if a higher, more technologically advanced society comes and overruns you and there's nothing you can do. You know what else the Native Americans can attest to? Making a deal with government to protect themselves, to lay down their weapons and try to assimilate peacefully into society. And you know what the government did? This conservatarian small government did with Andrew Jackson at its helm, who, by the way, killed the central bank, a libertarian ideal, I would like to point out. They sent them on the Trail of Tears, marched these Native Americans through the snow who had put themselves at the mercy of the state to be protected from raids of settlers and infringements against their own property. Essentially, their property was to be recognized by the United States, and the United States reneged on it. After the Native Americans gave up their guns and their means of self-defense to the state turned on them, just like they turn on every single one of us. The Native Americans can attest to that. Number three, anarchy means the non-aggression principle is optional. This is absolutely ridiculous. The non-aggression principle is not a law of nature. You can aggress against someone else. That can happen in a government-run society. It can happen in a stateless society. It's not like gravity. You cannot defy gravity. You can defy the non-aggression principle. What the non-aggression principle is it gives us a framework to judge the actions of another being on the merits of, did you aggress against this person's person or property? If someone breaks into your home and you're unable to defend yourself or pray for private security, who do you call? Well, who do you call if they break into your house and maybe you did pay for private security and maybe you were forced to pay for private security, or actually maybe the security is not so private in that sense, it's public because it's the state. What happens if you have to pay your entire life to the entity who steals from you and says they're there to protect you, to guarantee your rights when a robber comes in and shoots you in the head? Or what happens if that invading entity, in fact, is the state without a search warrant, or maybe even with a search warrant, who knows, who might even have invaded the wrong house, throws a flashbang grenade on the floor with a toddler sleeping, messing up their face probably for the rest of their life, if not almost killing him. You know, I don't understand how the anarchists have to be held to such a high principle, but the state gets all kinds of passes because, oh, well, they're just looking out for our common interest. And to call yourself a conservatarian, you are, I hesitate to even call you a minarchist, because I know minarchists and I love minarchists and they share a lot of the same viewpoints of liberty that I do. But to call yourself a conservatarian, really what you are, you're just a plant, honestly, in my opinion. But that's me on a second tangent. And the non-aggression principle is optional to anyone, no matter what, even if you live in a government society. I could go rob a store right now. I might not get away. Someone might catch me. Even the public police might catch me. But if I were to bring a gun into that situation, into that convenience store, and shoot someone, the police didn't protect them. Where were the police in that situation? Where were the police when they have been told all their lives, trust in the state guarantees your rights. Without us, oh, all hell would break loose. No, all that happened was the state stole from you and then let someone else murder you. He says, and there are crimes such as theft, fraud, breach of contract, or murder could be committed against those who did not have the means of self-defense in Ankabistan. No one can hear you scream and no one cares. Well, the Native Americans can attest to that. You know, I think we've been through enough instances of government theft, fraud, breach of contract, and murder against those who do not have the means of self-defense, against those who laid down their weapons for the hopes of just being left alone. Government is the foreign invader. You are a sovereign citizen. This is what we as libertarians believe. You own your life. You own your property. And you were not able to stop, even with some magic piece of paper that you like to call a constitution or minimum laws that you put on government. You have let the state come in and violate your property and violate your means of self-defense and steal from you. And nobody cares. Nobody in the state cares. There's no way that anarchists have to bear the burden of proof as to why their society is utopia when we don't advocate for utopia. This is a statist thing. Number four, private property goes out the window. Who defines what is private property? People, this is so elementary. When two people engage in trade, or when people meet each other after wandering through the woods because they were just created by God or whoever, they realize they can interact two ways, peacefully or coercively. And for a long time, people did act coercively, but you know what they learned? It's better to share in the division of labor, to specialize in something that the other one is not as good in, to specialize in your comparative advantage and to trade and to enjoy the increased production. This is simple economics. You can read this in any kind of economics textbook. Private property has gone out the window in the government sphere. Even with a constitutional limited government, we still have things like eminent domain where your property is not your property. We still have things like taxation where your property is not your property. We still have things like Social Security and government borrowing when your non-existent children's and grandchildren's property is signed away for the goodies for you to have earlier in the life. Where was the constitutional government to guarantee the rights of the future and the unborn? Where was the government to protect the rights of those who haven't yet come into existence? And they have taken it from you. And every single generation, they've taken it a bit farther because someone else who either was oppressed beforehand or would like their hands on the wheel of power decides they'd like to be king of the hill now, and they take it a little farther. And it's the conservatarians who think that if they just vote for the lesser of two evils, that a compromise to slow the growth of the rate of government theft and overreach is somehow a good thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. These whole four points are trying to put the burden of proof that the anarchists are going to create say that they can create a utopia, some fictional society that the statists steal from us, tell us they can create, and constantly fail at doing. Those are the four points that came from, and I'm sorry for spending a lot of time on that. There's some other quotes here. You know, with this article, if it even be called his article, this article, he just looked at what can I say that makes anarchists look bad? And he just grabs a bunch of quotes and throws it in there and say, hey, look at this thing that I wrote, that other people wrote. Marxists claim that capitalistic acts of use force. Anarcho-capitalists claim that the acts of force can be capitalistic. Though they come at it from different directions, both ignore or evade the fact that producing and exchanging values is the opposite of physical force. Anarcho-capitalists and caps don't deny this fact. Exchanging values is the opposite of physical force. However, if a majority of people come together and realize that they have the same value and they exchange that value with the minority through the force of a gun to pay for their police state so they can sleep at night because they're so scared and light in the loafers that they can't protect themselves, is a forceful exchanging of values. There's no, unless it's a voluntary payment for these services, it's force and exploitation. I'm sorry. This other quote, governments are necessary because we need to be secure from force initiated by criminals, terrorists, and foreign invaders. What about the criminals, terrorists, and foreign invaders in government? How has the government protected against that? This, I mean, really, I'm glad this article came out because some, you know, the Nirvana fallacy is not one that gets brought up very often. You know, there's straw men or reductio ad absurdum or ad hominem that comes out all over the place. And I'm sorry if I'm engaging a lot of ad hominem. I love pointing out the Nirvana fallacy here because it's one that you guys should learn, because it's something that statists and liberals and progressives like to use against libertarians. And here's a chance to see a libertarian try to do it to other libertarians. The genius of the American system is that it limited government, reining it in by constitution with checks and balances and the provision that no law can be passed unless it is necessary and proper to the government's sole purpose to protect individual rights, to protect them against their violation by physical force. Really? Are we just going to pretend the last 250 years didn't happen? Are we going to pretend that the warmongering and getting involved in needless interventions, whether it be World War I or whether it be the most recent ones in the Middle East, didn't happen? We're going to pretend that the federal government doesn't bomb innocent children in the Middle East, that they don't give the okay to drop weapons on Doctors Without Borders, to give weapons to a Saudi government to oppress the Yemeni people while the rest of the world looks away? Whose individual rights are they protecting when the mob of white people decide to get together and pass Jim Crow laws? What happens to the individual then? What happens when, oh, I know, 7 people out of 10 get together and decide they need the other 3 people's money to pay for the police state to help them sleep at night? I don't know. Whose rights are being protected then? How can the government simultaneously, to quote the original, the OG classical liberal Frederick Bastiat, how can the government propose to do the very same things it attempts to protect you at? You know, Alexander Spooner wrote about the highwayman in the state and how the highwayman might rob you, but after he robbed you, he goes away and he takes the risk of the actions upon himself and he doesn't follow you around. The government follows you around, tries to make you your dupe and your slave, even if it's a minimal one, to try to protect you from the highwayman who may or may not even be on the road. But you know what's insured 100% fact? That the government is the guy on the road following you around. They just crowd out violence and take it for themselves. And there's nothing more that the state has done. You know, to quote Lysander Spooner again, either this genius American idea of the Constitution with its checks and balances has failed in its duty to protect the individual rights, or it has simply allowed it to happen. I tend to think the latter. This is what the Federalists wanted. This is what Alexander Hamilton and his like wanted. This is what John Marshall with Judicial Review wanted. This is how they lied their way to get the Patriot Act of 1787 to use Scott Horton's, or 1789. I can't remember, and that's shameful that I can't remember my own American history, to use Scott Horton's analogy, that a lie was passed to the American people and the American ratifying conventions to accept this limited minarchist-type police state because everyone had peed their pants over the prospect of Shay's Rebellion, who were rebelling for the same reasons that the revolutionists rebelled against the British. There's another one. Tragically, the original theory of government was breached, shelved, trashed long ago, but that's another story. Really? Well, what has the genius Constitution done to protect it? I want to know. I thought it protected against this kind of stuff. You know, oh no, it's the anarchists. But if we had the anarchists, then everything would go to crap. Well, things have kind of already gone to crap. You say here the government's breached, shelved, and trashed. Well, it was. Here's another one. Oh, one from Ayn Rand. Oh, a government is the means of placing a retaliatory use of physical force under objective control, i.e. under objectively defined laws. Ayn Rand, Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal. You know what? I'm going to take a shot at Ayn Rand here. Her logic can be used to justify any law passed by a legislature. Absolutely anyone. If her definition of placing the means of physical force under objectively controlled and objectively defined laws, sure, they can just do it if they want to take your house. They'll do it if they want to take your, you know, take your money. They'll do it if they want to give money to Planned Parenthood. They'll do it if they want to create a police state. They'll do it if they want to create weapons of war. And they'll do it if they want to bomb innocent people over there that only come back to radicalize jihadists and come back and attack innocent American civilians. Ayn Rand, basically, with this quote, gives legitimacy to the entirety of government. Basically, you know, I heard it, one of the professors I really look up to, who I don't necessarily want to mention here, he wrote on a blog that, you know, when you're a minarchist, and I'm sorry if I'm playing on the fears of the or on the prejudices of the minarchists and the government supporting libertarians in here. You're just debating preference for size of government with socialists. You're not debating anything under of principle, because if you were debating principle, you would entirely reject the notion of the state under natural law and individual rights. It's just, but once I'm pushed into a corner, I'll say, oh, you know what? The government will take care of this, because I've never heard your argument before, and I'm not creative enough to come up with one. So I'm just gonna say the government is gonna take care of this one special thing that my society that I'm imagining can take care of. That's the whole point of anarchism, is that we don't try to imagine for everyone else how we need to make society, like minarchists or like people like this. I don't even know how to, I keep forgetting his name. It's probably a good thing. Right, to say, oh, we need a police state, or we need a minimal night watchman government, or else, you know, it's going to be like Mad Max out there. Oh, yeah. I've already gone into the rule of law versus the rule of mob. He goes in here to say, to summarize his article. There's another, he brings up another contradiction, probably because he doesn't know anything about libertarian philosophy, which is why he even later in his little author's note considers himself conservatarian. It says anarchists should not be purged from the Libertarian Party. Well, what was the point of this article? What was the point? Trying to say that the anarchists are wrong, that they're polluting the ideas of liberty in the movement, and they should not be allowed to win, and there's far more sinister than the people who consistently make deals with people who have no intention of keeping their word and constantly grow government, something that libertarians are supposed to be against. But no, the anarchists are worse, because we want to leave people alone more than everyone else does. If we are to remain clear and consistent with the foundations of our fragile republic, libertarians need to first and foremost accept the title of classical liberals once again. And he says, in short, we need more Matt Kaib, Ayn Rand, Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, and less Murray Rothbard and Adam Kokesh. It's funny here, he says anarchists should not be purged from the Libertarian Party. We need more, yet then he goes on to say, we need more people like Ayn Rand, who purged people from her own circle, people like Murray Rothbard, who's been purged from, you know, libertarian circles more than once, I might add, purged by Ayn Rand for daring to not abide by her objectivist philosophy and marry a non-atheist woman and not divorce her. And Ayn Rand kicked him out for that. Murray Rothbard was once again kicked out and purged by the same people whose institute, Cato, he helped to form. Murray Rothbard then went on to create probably the greatest, most consistent, and doing the best work to spread the ideas of liberty and to pump more educated people out there who won't write articles like this out into the world at the Mises Institute. Murray Rothbard went and founded this. Murray Rothbard founded the institution you quoted at the beginning of your article. This is why it's called an own goal. You're not even the defender who kicked the ball into his own net. You're the goalie. And you just watched it and gave it a little help, and you pushed it into your own goal. We need more people like Ayn Rand, who would have been ashamed to call herself a libertarian, who said we were nothing but pot-smoking Republicans. Which, you know, I guess that's what a conservatarian is. Anyways, this article, I would encourage you all to go read it. It's on jasonstapleton.com. And I just want to say, Jason, if you listen to this, I have the utmost respect for you and what you've done to grow the liberty movement. This is not an attack on you. This is not an attack on all minarchists. This is an attack on this article. This is a discussion with the same tone that I have perceived this article to have at the same time. Jason has poured a lot of his own time and resources into growing a message that the Libertarian Party has sorely, sorely not been able to communicate, and been able to convert people like my lovely co-host, Kim, who makes this entire podcast possible, who was able to have terms put in her own words that she can understand. And you know what? Kim's not an anarchist, but that's okay, because Kim doesn't write incendiary articles like this. Because I can be just as mean as anyone else, but I like to have meanness with substance behind it. But lastly, I want to end with a quote, because I can also put lots of quotes in my article and claim that it was mine as well. This quote was by Bob Higgs, who, or Robert Higgs, who I actually watched deliver the speech at a Mises Institute event. You know, Mises Institute, the one that Murray Rothbard founded. You know, we don't need more of them, but the one you still quoted in your article. He says, anarchists did not try to carry out genocide against the Armenians in Turkey. They did not deliberately starve millions of Ukrainians. They did not create a system of death camps to kill Jews, Gypsies, and Slavs in Europe. They did not firebomb scores of large German and Japanese cities and drop nuclear bombs on two of them. They did not carry out a great leap forward that killed scores of millions of Chinese. They did not attempt to kill everyone with an appreciable education in Cambodia. They did not launch one aggressive war after another. They did not implement trade sanctions that killed perhaps 500,000 Iraqi children. In debates between anarchists and statists, and this is the point of the argument, the burden of proof clearly should rest on those who put their trust in the state, minimal or otherwise. I just added that. Anarchy's mayhem is wholly conjectural. The state's mayhem is undeniably, factually horrendous. And the American Constitution, the golden calf that you like to hold up as some genius of American society, and I agree, it was a nice thing to try to achieve. If you can promise me that I can live in a utopia where government stays small and I can pay a little bit of money, whether I want to or not, and for it to actually stay small and not grow when someone else decides to get in power and take things a little bit further, I can agree with you. But from what I've seen, you know, and we've gone through here all these different governments in this Bob Hicks quote about the terrible things they've done. Do you know whose country is represented in there? Good old US of A with their genius constitution, who is supposed to keep government in check and not create the ability to drop nuclear bombs on two cities when a war was already won. Now, the World War II debate is something I think we should have on this podcast, Kim, when you listen to this. Anyways, I guess that was more of a rant. I hope there was stuff of substance in there. I hope to write an article here in the next couple days kind of saying the same things. I don't know if I will. I kind of got burned out here. I put a lot of, I guess, missing to some things and do it better in an article later. But this guy's not seen the last. This guy's not seen the last of me. So hey, man, bring your A game next time, because you surely didn't this time. Maybe next time you can write your own article instead of making half of it from quotes. Thank you, guys. Sorry for pissing off any minarchists. I love you. I love the Liberty Message. I love the Jason Stapleton program. And I love you guys, whether you are as far down the Liberty train as I am or not. But I think as a movement, we should be able to communicate with each other and not try to do this wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm not trying to purge you out of the party. Because as much people want to whine about anarchists telling people they're not pure or not libertarian enough, and I might have done some of that here while debating the merits of anarchism versus minarchism or whatever conservatarian pot-smoking Republican guy advocates for, we still need to get the state smaller.